Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on CUTV News Radio. Noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific right now, and it is Tuesday, December 11th, 2018. We do broadcast live for the next 30 minutes. We are on air globally live, but we also archive all of our broadcasts. So this show and all of our shows are available 24/7, 365 days. And they're available on demand for your listening pleasure. So you can go back in the archives and listen to the show again and share the link with your family and friends, colleagues and associates so they can enjoy the inspiration and perspective of our amazing guests we feature exclusively here on CUTV News Radio Live, including the remarkable Dr. Madeline Blair, leadership coach and master of resilience. We are getting close to wrapping up. We have another show coming up after this episode today. But it's been and continues to be a most interesting series with a most interesting guest, Dr. Madeline Blair. She's a professional who loves to keep on thinking and learning and inspires others to do the very same, especially when it comes to business and leadership. After earning a master's degree in finance and spending several years in successive managerial roles at the World Bank, Dr. Blair went on to obtain her Ph.D., and it's in a discipline known as organizational psychology, and we've been talking about that, dealing with people and teams, the way they think and act, and the individual and collective strengths of an organization's staff. Now, while Dr. Blair is often a speaker and a workshop facilitator, she's more coach than teacher. She likes to solve problems. She likes to look at a situation or business, identify the pain, and then work on strategies to remove it. Dr. Blair is recognized for her ability to lead training exercises with zest and spirit, and a gift for storytelling that triggers the occasional laugh, too. She also manages to get people to think and work together. The result of all of this, they come up with these wonderful ideas they never realized were even inside them. One of Dr. Blair's focal points is leadership, as we've been talking about. She devotes herself to building excellence and resilience among leaders. And the last shows, she's been recapping for us what a leader is, and we're going to continue that today as well. And we're going to be talking about some of the challenges that leaders and businesses have faced in 2018. We started that list last week, and we're going to continue. There's 10 of them. We're going to continue that with Dr. Blair today. Dr. Blair is also a voracious reader and author. She's published two books, Writing the Current and Essays in Two Voices. She also blogs regularly for Psychology Today and tackles topics that are most pressing in today's business landscape. And as the year draws to a close, she's spending these shows taking an in-depth look at the top 10 business challenges of 2018, as we've been talking about. She's discussing these issues, diversity and uncertainty, for example, and how leaders can be equipped to handle them. She's revealing ideas on how business people can create visionary, strategic plans for their organizations despite those challenges. Her solutions come from her extensive experience and are often reflected in her publications. It is my honor to welcome back, as we continue our series exclusively with Dr. Madeline Blair, Dr. Madeline Blair to CUTV News Radio Live. Dr. Blair, thanks for joining us once again. A pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, Jim, it's always a delight to talk with you and talk to our listeners as well.
Thank you very much. Our pleasure always. And we're talking about those challenges that businesses deal with and leaders in 2018 and some of the top ones. There's that list of 10, and you kicked that off last week by revealing some of them, and we appreciate all of your perspective and your valuable insights. They mean a great deal, and our audience is learning from them. Can you continue to discuss a few more of those challenges for us as well, Dr. Blair?
Oh, absolutely, Jim. I think it's an interesting list. I'm not sure we'll get through all 10, but certainly we'll get through the most important ones. I think we could probably have time today for maybe three.
That sounds good. What would those be?
Well, I think the first one on my list that comes to mind is this issue of diversity. We talk about that a lot, and it sometimes is a stumbling block. People see it only in terms of affirmative action, and it's really a much more significant aspect. Diversity really, in this sense that I talk about it, is the diversity of ideas, so that it doesn't matter what the person looks like, how they sound, etc. It's what they have to contribute, and how do you really maximize what you're getting from your people, because that's how you solve problems in business. And when people come to me and they really say, look, I don't think I'm getting all I can from this diverse group, I generally take it from three perspectives. The first is, I always say to them, does everybody understand what your mission or your goal or your objective is that they're trying to help you achieve? Now I'm talking to the leader right now. And so that's the first thing you want to have lined up. And I'll talk about how you do that in a minute. Second is, do they know and agree on how to do that? And how do you bring them to that agreement? And thirdly, do the people all know and value what each person brings to the team? Okay, so let's look at those three things. Because if you can solve those and address those, you're well on the way to high success. All right, so that first one was, do you all agree on the objective or the goal or the mission? When I work with groups in that arena, one of the things that I do is I ask them, first of all, have you written that down? And they say, of course, there it is. It's, you know, it's on our website or whatever. So I look at that and I look for words that might have different meanings for different people. I think I've talked about this before, but I think it's worth repeating. You may find a word in there. Maybe the word is global. Maybe the word is freedom. Maybe the word is standards. Do they all agree to that? Or do they all think of that as the same way? And what I did, in fact, recently, maybe a couple of years ago, I worked with the National Security Agency, NSA. Now, they're serious folks. And one of the words in their mission statement is standards. Well, you'd think that the NSA would all agree on what standards were. And so I would have them tell personal stories inspired by the word standards. And it wasn't that they really had radically different understandings of what that word meant, but they brought different perspectives to it as they told their stories. But because it was being told as a story, you didn't care that you didn't necessarily understand their issue or that they agree with what they had to say, because it was their story. And so it allowed for a richer conversation, and it was amazing. Whenever we finish that kind of an exercise, the group really knows and feels that they have come together on mission. Okay, that second one is all about, does the whole team agree on how to achieve it? And are you really using those diverse ideas in the room? And here, the issue is, have you created an environment where all the voices can be heard? So if there was someone, for example, there was someone quiet in the group, did you give them a chance to say what they needed to say? Oftentimes when I work with groups that have a lot of what we call introverts who prefer to be quiet and wait until they have a space to speak in, we'll actually set aside time for that. We'll say, okay, we've heard from the noisy people. Now, let's take a pause and check with the rest of you who haven't said anything. Are you ready to share? And often that just opens the door for them. Another thing I often suggest to managers is, look, if you want them to answer certain questions or think about something, send them the questions before the meeting, because those introverts are
great at thinking through things on their own time. So give them some time before the meeting. And then when they come, they're ready to speak. So that's a way in which you can get all the voices out on the table. And by the way, one of the things that leaders have got to do, and this is very hard, is they have to stop judging the person who is giving their ideas. It may be a crazy idea, but you let them at least express it. And what I often do when I'm working with a team like that and I know the idea won't work, I'll say, now that is really creative thinking. What can we learn from that? And suddenly the group begins to talk about it, not as a crazy idea, but as a way to think about other possibilities that will solve the problem. So the key, again, is getting all the voices heard. Now that third one, that third characteristic that I said you have to do, you have to think about, do you know the value that each person brings to the table? This is a great one to work on. I like to do it when a team is just forming, but you can do it any time. You can say, look, we're going to set aside some time because I'm curious about the, things that you have done in your life that you're really proud of, because that will help us understand what you bring to the table. You ask people to talk about and tell a story about something they're proud of. Oh, my goodness, the most wonderful stories are told. And suddenly you see this person that you thought was one thing, and you discover that they really can do something very, very different because they did it in the past. And when I have done that with teams, and I've done this several times, one of the things that happens as these stories are being told is you'll see somebody say, you did that project? Wow, I've always wanted to meet the person who did that. So you're beginning to develop connections between people. And connections and relationships are really what make teams sing. And finally, I think the most important thing that happens, and it usually takes a little time to get there, but it really starts when you're sharing these kinds of stories, is that a level of trust begins to build. It's amazing. Suddenly people know that you did that project, know that you accomplished such and such, and they begin to see there's a place where I can trust you. So those are the three really, I would say, areas that you've got to make sure that you touch when you're trying to pull out the real value of having a diverse group in front of you.
I think we have time. If you want to share some of the other ones, we can keep it consistent, the flow, and people probably on their edge of the seat saying, okay, so then what are the others?
Well, let's see. In terms of diversity, I think one of the things, and I teach this when I'm usually when I'm trying to get groups to become more curious, is I tell them, look, we're going to try something different. For the next 20 minutes, all you can do is ask questions. Now, you know, asking a question really stimulates curiosity. Literally, it nurtures your curiosity as much as it does the rest. So I say to them, look, we got this problem. We've agreed on this is the problem that's on the table. Now, what are some questions that you have about that problem? But you can only ask a question. I want to hear no opinion. I want to hear only questions. And oh, my goodness, you see the wheels turning in their heads, because what they want to do is say, well, this is what we ought to do. And instead, they have to turn it around and ask it as a question. That is really fun. I got that idea, by the way, from a man by the name of Hal Gergerson from MIT. He calls them question storming sessions, and I love the phrase. So that's one way, one additional approach that you can do. What's another one that would make sense in relationship to diversity? I think another one might be for the leader themselves to model asking questions. I know I'm kind of focusing on the questions, but it's really important because it suggests an area that you might want to have information, more information on. And I'll give you an example of this.
I work with a lot of students. As you know, I think you've mentioned I teach at a couple of universities. And when I begin to introduce myself to the students, I say to them, look, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. Don't ever think that my question is a criticism of what you've done. It's not saying that you omitted this or that have you really thought this through. My questions only mean that I want more information from you. I'm curious about whatever I'm asking. And I want to tell you, that relieves students so much that they begin to ask questions in a different manner. It keeps them always on the positive. So when they get a question, it's not a whoop, like something hit them and makes them feel bad. They go, oh, somebody's curious about that. And they even begin to ask each other questions about their work. Again, it's a reflection of just wanting more information. So there's a place where you can begin to help your team do the same thing by allowing questions and encouraging them. You can have a question storming session, or you can simply model it yourself. Again, you may hear an idea that's crazy, but you say, you know, there's a kernel in that. What's the kernel? And that keeps the conversation going, and you get more and more and more ideas on the table. And frankly, today, with the kinds of complex problems that we have and the rapid changes in the world, you need to have plenty of ideas on the table. Does that help, Jim?
It really does. And you're so incredible at laying it all out in layman's terms and making it so user-friendly and relatable. And it's all topical, and it's all vital, and it's all relevant. These are some of the issues that, like you say, leaders and businesses have dealt with. With the coming new year, a lot of people look to the new year for positivity, inspiration, hope, change, or continuing the success that they've been building upon this year and possibly previous years. As we look towards the new year with this hopeful spirit, with sweeping changes that are happening culturally, societally, with technology, we don't know necessarily what a new year will bring. However, there are things that we can do now in the remaining moments of this year to sort of set up 2019 so it's smoother, flows more fluidly, can be more positive, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no question. I've often talked about the fact that I think that resilience is a characteristic that all of us, I shouldn't call it a characteristic, I should call it a skill. We really have the ability to improve that skill called resilience. I think that's one that I'd love to see more people do. And by the way, everybody leads themselves when it comes to resilience. You're going to choose what you're going to, how you're going to react to things. And who knows what 2019 is going to bring to us. And you just want to prepare yourself. Now, there are several things you could do that. And I'm going to talk about what I don't normally talk about. And that is that when you're in that moment when you've got to make a choice to deal with the uncomfortable situation that's just hit you, one of the things that really helps you do that is having a good understanding of the situation. It's getting knowledge. It's being informed. And one of the things that all of us have talked about actually for years, this aspect of there's so much information, how do I ever feel like I've got that in control? And you're going to laugh, but that question actually came up in the 16th century, because after Gutenberg invented the printing press, believe it or not, suddenly scholars were faced with more books. And they said, how can we possibly memorize all these books? Because it used to be there were so few books around, you did have to memorize them. And you kept careful notes of them all because that was the only thing you had. So this aspect of overwhelming information is not new. But there are some things you can really do to help you know that you have at least done your homework. so to speak. And I'll talk about a couple of strategies, and if they sound interesting, we can do a few more. One is one that people say, oh, that doesn't make sense, but it really does. It's called setting boundaries. And by the way, these strategies I'm going to talk about all come from my book called Riding the Current, which is all about exactly this issue. Setting boundaries. In other words, you should begin by saying, well, I'm really interested in management. And right now, although I'm curious about string theory, I don't think I'm going to make myself learn about that because it doesn't meet my career goals. Whatever the reason is, you set the boundaries for what you want to really, I don't even want to say stay current. I want to say those are the areas where you really want to make sure that you're getting fresh knowledge all the time. For me, for example, yes, I deal in the issues of management, but one of the things that I always have to stay up on is current events because my clients are faced with current events. And if I can't speak to them intelligently about that, they're going to think, where is this person? Does she live on the moon? So I have, you know, at least two areas where I need to keep fresh information coming at me. So setting boundaries. I often use, by the way, the string theory as the thing that I set outside the limits of what I want to deal with. And it was so funny because the other day I was reading a book called When Einstein Walked with Gödel. Now, Gödel, by the way, is the name of a famous mathematician from the 20th century. And they literally worked on the Princeton University campus, and they did walk together. But the book itself, although it talks about that, it also talks about a lot of things in mathematics. Now, I happen to be curious about mathematics, and when I'm just want to kind of entertain myself, that's the kind of book that I read. And lo and behold, one of the chapters was on string theory, and I had to laugh at myself because there it was, facing it. Okay, so that's one thing. And let me say one other thing about boundaries. Some people think that limits you. And from my perspective, it frees you. And I'll tell you what the big thing that it frees you of. It frees you of the guilt of not knowing everything. Now, just think about that. Some people really feel that because it's there, they should know it. Nobody can know it all. And so if you set your boundaries,
I agree with you 100%.
Thank you, Jim.
You know why I do? Because as a quick aside, I work in the media, so I have all this information coming at me all the time from all these different sources, and some people may relate to what I'm saying, and it goes perfectly in line with what you're saying. There was a time where the television was on, the radio was on, the internet Wi-Fi was on, the cell phone was ringing off the hook, and I felt a complete information overload, and I felt like I had to turn it all off for 5-10 minutes, however long, just to clear it out. And then also, in going into the realms of the internet and other places like that where there's so much information, you feel like you're supposed to be doing everything, learning everything, and expert at everything, and it can be overwhelming for one, right?
Yes. Thank you, Jim. You're exactly what I'm saying, exactly what I have experienced myself and why I focus on setting boundaries. Yep. It releases you. It frees you.
Oh. It does.
So
it
that's
really, really
one
good.
Strategy. Yeah. I think another, and I want to give you at least one more because it is a big deal, this business of all this information coming at it. The second is something that I also recommend from the book, and it's called Create and Find a Practice Partner. Now, a practice partner is just somebody that you know who knows you and is curious by nature, so that when you talk with them, they ask you questions. Now, what does that mean in relationship to dealing with all this information? We often think that getting the information is all I need to do. Okay, now I've got the information. But in fact, part of what we do as this wonderful human brain that exists up here is that we integrate that new information into what we already know. And when you talk it over with somebody, that's when that, I call it integration, that integration actually happens. So a practice partner is absolutely terrific because it, their questions help you think it through more deeply, and you absorb it and take it in. And as I said, you integrate it into what you already know. And that means functional for you. It's not just a crazy fact over here or an isolated item. It's now part of your frame of reference, seeing the world. So it's a really, really powerful strategy.
Absolutely. Again, all of this that we're talking about is addressed in Riding the Current, which is her amazing book. So thus far, we've been talking about diversity being the stumbling block for some organizations, and you've been very clear about the differing ideas and viewpoints, not EEO stats, that it becomes difficult to run a business when people do not all agree. And you've shared with us specific tactics for helping diverse people in a group all get on the same page. And then the other challenge of 2018 is this information overload we've been talking about. As the information keeps growing and coming at us faster, it's very hard sometimes to digest. It can be a blur, overwhelming to all of us. And dealing with this mountain of information is the topic of one of the books, Riding the Current. We've got about 4 minutes left. I would love to squeeze in the topics that came from an article published by the Lean Methods Group. Their number 10 was problem solving. Is the problem solving competency among today's business leaders limited, Dr. Blair? How does it work, and how do you help to boost their understanding and strategic capabilities?
Well, no, I don't think their capacity and competency in doing this is limited. I think sometimes that that pressures force them to move faster than they probably should. You see, problems really demand some thinking. Remember, I just talked about having a practice partner that helps you think through things so that you can integrate it into your own frame. Well, it's the same thing that happens when you're dealing with a problem. You want to give yourself at least enough time to think it through. Reflection time is probably one of the areas where American business, which is what I know best, American business has really cut back on. We don't value that, you know, putting your feet up and thinking about things. We value action, action, action. And as a leader, you really need to pause and really think through when you can set aside some reflection time. Another thing that helps in problem solving, and it's sort of like when I say it, you're going to go, well, of course. But it's being confident. You've got to be confident in who you are. And the more you know who you are, the more confident that you are. And confidence helps you be able to sift through this problem, think it through, and resolve it or take on an action that will help to resolve it. So confidence is really important. Curiosity is important to addressing problems. You've got to be ready to explore what's unexpected, to really push the envelope, and that curiosity
Absolutely.
Is really important. So those are some
Absolutely.
Thoughts that I had on the problem solving.
And they are brilliant, as always, from Dr. Blair. And again, we encourage you to connect with Dr. Blair because she is a wealth of resource. She's very affable. She's very skilled. She's a tremendous listener, a creator, a doer, and she loves to foster positivity, insight, perspective, and wonderful ideas that are not cookie cutter. They're custom tailored to you, to the individual, and the needs of those around you and your company. Dr. Blair, we've got about a minute left. I know there was something you wanted to share with our audience, so I'll hand it over to you to do that.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Well, you know, I really enjoy talking about these very real problems for businesses. It really shows that some of the work that I do, which sounds sometimes like, how does that actually apply? It really applies. So it has to do with creating an environment where you can find yourself able to deal with those uncomfortable places. And resilience, of course, prepares you for the uncomfortable, whether it's your identity or your knowledge or your curiosity. organizations need to be resilient today, because when you have a clear mission, it's where initiative is sparked. And when you know that knowledge is accessible to your staff, it becomes a real source of creativity. And when you have the right environment for learning, which is where questions are the norm, you get much better solutions. So I'm excited about going through these particular issues, and I want to make an offer that if people feel like they'd like to continue the conversation a bit more, I'm willing to accept 3 calls, and you'll get 30 minutes free of my coaching time. It's 301-371-7100, and it's just the first 3 calls. Thank you, Jim.
You are very welcome. That's a wonderful offer, and that's exclusive to CU TV News and CU TV News Radio listeners. So if you call Dr. Madeline Blair, there's no obligation. It's a free 30 minutes of her expertise and her time. You can reach her exclusively at area code 301-371-7100, 301-371-7100. You will get a free 30-minute consultation with Dr. Blair, which is invaluable. If you listened to this half hour of information and the previous shows, and we have another one coming up next week at the same time, I've just learned that our next show is next week, the 19th at noon Eastern, Dr. Blair. So we'll be on together next week to continue, and looking forward to that. So I encourage the listeners to tune in for that. But connect with Dr. Blair, 301-371-7100, and get your free half hour, no obligation. This is something she revealed to us. She wanted to offer to our listeners exclusively. I think that's very, very generous of her. You can also reach her at her website, www.madelineblair, that's B-L-A-I-R, .com. Madeline Blair, and that's M-A-D-E-L-Y-N-B-L-A-I-R.com. Dr. Blair, looking forward to chatting with you next week as we continue the series together. And this was a wonderful show, and thanks for sharing all this information with us today on the program. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
You are very welcome. You have a wonderful day. Take care now. Thank you for joining us, everybody, as well. Jim Masters here. Again, connect with Dr. Blair for that free half-hour consultation with her. 301-371-7100. Mention CU TV News Radio Live. And first 3 people, it's only open to the first 3 who do respond accordingly. Jim Masters here. For all of us here, we thank you for your time. Back next week with Dr. Blair at the same time, noon Eastern, on Tuesday, December 19th. And stay tuned. More great shows coming up right here on CU TV News Radio Live. Bye for now.
You've been listening to CU TV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CU TV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.